Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends around the world on this Friday. When you end a letter you've written, especially a lengthy one, and one with lots of important information, how do you close that letter? Sadly, not many people write handwritten letters anymore, and even those written via computer email are often ended quickly and without much thought. But over the past several weeks, we've been with the Apostle Peter in about the year 64 AD, as he's been writing his first letter to Christians across the Roman Empire. His letter is intended to encourage people who were suffering greatly because both the political leaders in Rome and scattered across the empire and the Jewish religious leaders in Jerusalem and those scattered across the empire seemed determined to eradicate this movement of followers of Jesus Christ. Persecution had become horrific, causing many Christians to flee for their lives from their hometowns, their jobs, and even in some cases, their families. Let's sit with Peter again as he rolls out the parchment for the last time to write his final words. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. 1 Peter 5:12. I presume this Silas is the same man who accompanied Paul on his second missionary journey. You may recall we met Silas first in Acts 15, when Paul and Barnabas had come to Jerusalem for a meeting with the apostles and other leaders of the Christian movement based in Jerusalem. A major question had arisen, causing great division among Jewish and Gentile Christians. It was a simple yet profound question, and everyone had strong feelings about it. The question was this: was full faith in Jesus Christ and his atonement death sufficient for salvation? Or should Gentiles abide by Jewish laws, including circumcision, in order to be fully saved by God? By the clear leading of the Holy Spirit, those leaders came to the conclusion the salvation of any person is fully God accomplished in them in response to their full trust in Jesus Christ's atonement death and their repentance of their sin. As Barnabas and Paul were preparing to return to Antioch, from which they had come for this meeting, they were encouraged by the Jerusalem leaders to take with them Silas and another man named Judas to validate the report Paul and Barnabas would give to the Gentile Christians in Antioch. They did so, and sometime later, while in Antioch, Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement regarding the young man John Mark, who had joined their first missionary journey, but then left them in Perga to return home to Jerusalem. In their disagreement, Barnabas decided to invite John Mark to accompany him, and the two of them sailed for Cyprus to begin a second missionary trip. Paul also decided to go back and visit the churches he and Barnabas had helped launch, and he invited Silas to join him on that journey. Silas did, and perhaps became best known for his time with Paul in the city of Philippi, where they were arrested for causing a disturbance and beaten before being thrown into the jail cell. That night, an earthquake flung open the gates to the prison, and you may recall the jailer thinking all the prisoners had escaped was about to kill himself when Paul and Silas called out that they had not run out despite the open gates. The jailer then asked Paul and Silas to explain to him how to enter into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. You'll find that story in Acts chapter 16. Silas is not mentioned in either Paul's third or fourth journey, but apparently Silas ended up in Rome at Peter's side, assisting him as Peter wrote this letter. Perhaps Silas would be the carrier of Peter's letter, as it would be sent out to be read in towns and cities across the Roman Empire. I can only imagine the encouragement it was for Peter to have Silas with him again in Rome. We can assume they had known each other well in Jerusalem in the early days. It's very likely Silas would have known Jesus, even though he is not mentioned among the followers of Jesus in the gospel accounts. If Peter was in a prison cell, it's even possible he did not have the freedom to write some of his letter himself, and he dictated it to Silas to be written. Since both Peter and Silas had suffered beatings and imprisonment for the gospel, it's not difficult to understand how Silas would have given personal testimony to the validity of all Peter had written, as Silas would take the scroll from town to town. Peter now concludes with his final statements. She, who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. 1 Peter 5:13 and 14. Most Bible scholars agree the Babylon Peter refers to here is the city of Rome. Peter uses the term Babylon to express Rome's dominant significance in the Roman Empire, as Babylon of old was in the days of King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire. But also, Peter used that word since it had come to symbolize the seat of wickedness in power here on earth. It was Peter's way of acknowledging the horrific wickedness flowing out of Rome toward Christians across the empire was similar to that which was poured out of Babylon against the Jews in the days of the destruction of Rome in 586 BC and their 70 years of captivity. Did Peter know that within only a few years after he wrote this, Jerusalem would once again be destroyed, this time by the Roman military in 70 AD, destroying the city and the great temple, just as King Nebuchadnezzar had done 650 years before? But who is the she Peter refers to in Babylon, we ask? Most Bible scholars believe Peter is referring to the Christians in Rome who, like many in other cities across the empire, gathered in little clusters in homes to worship, pray, and study the scriptures. While in Rome, Peter and Paul both met with these Christians, and Paul, of course, wrote his letter, we know as Romans, to these Roman Christians. And finally, Mark. Who is he? Yes, this is the same John Mark who we meet first in Acts 12:12 in a prayer meeting, and who then accompanied Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. Mark then later traveled with Peter, and here we find them in Rome together. Peter had such an affection for Mark and had spent so much time teaching Mark of the teachings of Jesus that Peter calls Mark my son Mark. And yes, my friends, this Mark is the author of the second book of the New Testament, the gospel which bears his name. We can well imagine it was the profound influence of Peter which motivated Mark to write as the Holy Spirit led him. Finally, the very last line of Peter's letter. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. It's almost exactly how Peter began, do you remember? Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Peter had opened his letter with those words because Peter loved those people who had fully trusted in Jesus. And thus, do you see again, Peter calls them, you who are in Christ. Peter was so confident that their security in Christ would carry them through these difficult days and years, and they would one day all be reunited together with Jesus in heaven. Peter loved praying for peace for them, as he knew the difficulty in which they lived. They, like he and Silas and John Mark, sought to follow Jesus obediently and honorably. Look, Peter is folding his hands. This letter, dictated into his mind by the Holy Spirit, is complete. Soon it would be copied very, very carefully and sent out across the empire to encourage hungry, persecuted Christians. Meanwhile, Peter remained in Rome. In fact, as far as we know, he was never released to travel again. Soon he wrote a second letter, and soon after that, Peter was executed for being a stubborn follower of Jesus. Stubborn, I say, because he refused to deny Jesus. He refused to stop talking or writing about Jesus, and he refused to bow his knee, honoring the Caesar as his Lord. Oh no, Peter only knew one Lord. His Savior, his Lord, his friend, Jesus. Do you know Jesus as your Savior, your Lord, and your friend? Oh, how I'd love to help you know him like this. And so we close 1 Peter with another wonderful worship song.